Heavenly Father, I come to you and I thank you so much for Rachel, for her life. Lord God, I thank you for how you use Rachel in your kingdom. And this morning, as she shares from your word, I just pray that you will just give her calmness, give her peace, give her your words to say. Allow each one of us, Lord God, to open our hearts and our minds to you and what it is that you're speaking into our lives today. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
I am seriously rethinking my life choices right now after following Stacy. She does such a great job, and everything was just so powerful. This is not normal. A couple months ago, I started feeling this little nudge, and the opportunity came up, and I am following what I feel to be the Holy Spirit's tug. So, my story that I'm going to share with you today is not unlike many of you who grew up in church. I was raised by believing parents who made sure that I was in church at every opportunity. I grew up in the 80s and 90s. And if you are familiar with Christian culture during that time frame, you know where I'm coming from. My youth group, like you guys, my youth group was everything to me. We went to all the Christian concerts we could. We sang all the pop Christian youth group songs. I had a lot of Christian t-shirts. And hear me on this for one second here. Please understand that what I'm about to do is not poking fun at wearing a Christian t-shirt, okay? They can be really good conversation starters to share your faith. But the ones that I wore and the ones that we wore in the 80s and 90s were a smidge cheesy. And unfortunately, I couldn't find anything in my pictures to show you what I'm talking about. However, Google is magic. And I was able to find some that I had and wore and people that I knew wore. So, the awesome video tech back there, I had this shirt, I wore it. Y'all remember Hard Rock Cafe? No, this was the Solid Rock Cafe of Jesus. All right, what's the next one? Air Jesus, Michael Jordan. Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Solid. And I didn't have this one, but I knew people who did, and I was a little jealous. Jesus, sweet Savior, King of Kings. And now, is that it? There one more, maybe? That's it. Okay. So, kind of cheesy. They get the point across, right? I'm not poking fun. That is just kind of what I grew up with and where I came from. They were plays on popular name brands and phrases. So, experiences for me, like short-term missions trips and youth retreats and summer youth camps, all played vital roles in my growing up. For goodness sakes, I met my husband at youth camp as a teenager. So, super important time in my life. I'm also a product of a small Christian school that played a very valuable role in my growing up. That was an incredible sacrifice on the part of my parents, for which I am very, very grateful. Life was good, and it was easy, and I was living the good Christian 90s teenage girl life. Now, today I want to talk about listening for the gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit as he works in our lives. That was part of my spiritual journey, and it started for me as a teenager. I was blessed to grow up in an environment where I was taught that God's word is truth, and we've been talking about that the last few weeks. That is the standard by which we build our lives, and it is the screen by which we filter the messages we receive from the world and those who teach us. If it doesn't agree with God's word, we don't accept it, and we throw it out. And I want to take a pause right here and piggyback on what Dustin said about being so grateful for Kim and Randy and for Stacy, for all our Sunday school teachers and our youth leaders. They do a marvelous job of teaching our kids that the word of God is truth. I'm very, very grateful as a parent for that my kids are getting that instruction. It was during my late teenage years that I began to experience the Holy Spirit working in my life in ways that would become so familiar through the course of my young adulthood and even now. My thoughts that I'm going to share with you today may be geared towards some of the younger ones, but I hope there is something in here for all of us and that the Holy Spirit uses my experience to help guide us into His Word, and that's where I want to concentrate today. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word to us. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you will use our time together today to guide us to you, that glory be brought to your name, and that we begin to have an understanding of how we can begin to listen to your gentle voice and those nudges as you lead us. In your precious and holy name, amen. What I feel led to focus on today is listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and responding to his nudges as he speaks to us in our everyday lives. The story of Elijah and how the Lord spoke to him has always kind of captured me. Now, here is a little background before I go into the scripture that I want to talk about. Elijah, the prophet, was a prophet to Israel, and the Israelites had stepped away from the Lord, and they were serving Baal. And Elijah decided that, you know what, I'm going to get into a contest with these other prophets, and I'm going to prove through the Lord that our God is the most powerful God. And so what they decided to do, they accepted the challenge. The prophets of Baal, they say, okay, here's our altar. Elijah says, here's God's altar over here. And we're going to have a contest and see whose God can light this altar on fire. So, of course, as every good contest goes, there's a lot of trash talk back and forth. And finally, the Baal fails, right? So Elijah prays, and God sends down fire from heaven. After Elijah has doused the altar with water, God sends down fire. The altar is consumed. The sacrifices are all burned up, and now we're going to pick up our story from there. The evil queen Jezebel has decided that Elijah, since he put her prophets to death with the sword, that she's going to put a hit out on him. And so Elijah goes on the run. He had just witnessed this phenomenal miracle of fire coming down from heaven to light the altar, but he runs. He goes until he can't go anymore, and then he lies down and he prays to die. At this point, the angel of the Lord comes to him, and that's where I want to start reading. We're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 5 through 7. At first, and if you're looking in the church Bible, it is on page 255. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." Just a little sidebar here. This is spiritual proof that you can get hangry. So sometimes the best thing that you can do is just have a snack and go take a nap. So back to verse 8. So he got up, ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. A little bit of history here. Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai are generally believed to be the same place by biblical scholars. The reason that that's important is because that is where Moses met with God and God gave him the Ten Commandments. Now, I don't have anything on which to base this statement, but I wonder if maybe Elijah thought that if he could just get to Mount Horeb, that God would meet with him there and he would be rescued by the Holy One. Let's look at verses 9 through 12. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. I think that what has fascinated me and I have loved about this story is that the Lord came to Elijah in just the way he needed him. Elijah was scared and weary. He had just come crashing down from this magnificent victory. The aftermath did not go as he expected, and he was devastated. We see a desperate and broken Elijah hiding in a cave, waiting for death. But the Lord starts this gentle conversation with Elijah. He says, "What are you doing here? Come out. I'm about to pass by." And then the Lord sends the wind and the earthquake and the fire. But the Lord wasn't in any of those great and mighty acts of nature. Let's go back to the last part of verse 12. "And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too.'" From there, the Lord goes on and he gives Elijah his next set of instructions of how he's going to go and anoint Elisha to be his successor and become the next prophet of Israel. After the fire came a gentle whisper. Sometimes I think we do need those dramatic, attention-grabbing moments that the Lord uses to get our attention. But often it is that gentle whisper that is so attention-grabbing that we can't help but sit up and take notice. Darren Rouse said, "Sometimes a whisper in a noisy room is the most effective strategy." That gentle whisper was what Elijah needed to comfort and redirect him. I don't know how many of you have, but I have never experienced a tornado, an earthquake, or a fire sent by God to grab my attention. I have experienced the gentle whisper, though. Now, when I was growing up, my mom owned a small business, which was a child care center. And naturally, I spent a lot of time then in that setting growing up. And I came to understand that teachers and educators, many of you are teachers, educators, have an attention-grabbing phrase that they use to get the attention of their young children. Something like, "If you can hear the sound of my voice, clap one time. If you can hear the sound of my voice, clap two times." And it goes on from there until they get the room's attention. Or it could be something like, "One, two, three, eyes on me." All of these are kind of a little bit cheesy, but they get the attention of the room, right? My mom had her own attention-getting phrase. There were four of us growing up, and so sometimes she brought that little phrase home, and it was this: "Children, I need you to put your listening ears on." When I was a teenager, I thought that was crazy and cheesy and annoying. But I knew that if I didn't listen up, that I was going to miss whatever my mom had to say, and it might be something really important. And that is what I think that the Lord asks us to do. I think that he is asking us to put our listening ears on. It's something that I started experiencing and began to recognize those whispers and nudges. As I was finishing high school, I felt like nursing was the path, the career path that God had for me. But I started to have some second doubts. And I think that we often can get really worried about stepping out of the will of God, that's what we become fixated on. And we forget that he is working all around us, and it is our job to step in and take part in that work. Are there times of calling? Yes, absolutely there are. But at that time in my life, I was so desperate for a sign that I wasn't stepping out of the will of God that I began to doubt my faith and whether or not what I was doing was what God had for me. I remember reading my Bible for a sign that I was doing the right thing, and I don't know what I thought I was going to find specific to me going into nursing, but I really wanted that answer. And what happened instead was I began to hear these little confirmation messages in my spirit and verses of scripture that spoke to me. They were these gentle nudges that said, this is the way, keep going, walk it through. And I began taking those steps and leaning into the nudges, and the Lord made paths very clear to me along my educational journey into my nursing career. It was these footsteps on this journey that began a path through definite hills and valleys. And it is during those times that I began to train my ears to listen for that gentle whisper, the still small voice. Here's a fun fact about me. I love old houses. I mean, like really old houses, like 1700s, 1800s, early 1900s. I love them. I love their architecture. I love the craftsmanship. I will geek out on a show where somebody buys an old house that has fallen into disrepair and they make it beautiful again. I love that. And I follow Instagram accounts on historical homes. There's something about it. It just captures me. I grew up in an old house. I love it. One of the things that is my favorite about an older home is natural hardwood floors. I love them. I love how they creak. I love the way they look. They're beautiful. Many people decide that they're going to cover up natural hardwood floors with carpet. I know that's a matter of preference. If you've chosen to do that, you're wrong. I'm just saying. I love the home that I live in right now. But my dream home would be probably about 100 years older. Like I said, I love hardwood floors. You can hear people coming and going, and if you listen to the people that you live with and the people that you love as they're coming and going, you get to know their footsteps and the way they walk and their patterns. I can tell you which one of my children and my husband is going up and down the steps in our home by the way the steps creak. I can tell when my husband walks in the back door because of the way his footsteps patterns are. Now, I think that's a little bit like I've trained my ears to do that. And some of you moms, you probably know this, what I'm talking about. You know which one of your kids is walking by. You don't even have to look. When we become so in tune with God's word, we recognize his footsteps and where he is moving in our lives. But we have to be listening. We can hear the footsteps, but if we aren't paying attention and listening, we'll miss the pattern. Teenager, graduate, college student, young mom, young professional, please hear me on this. It is so easy to be listening and hear the wrong message and mistake it for the truth. I'm not here to stand up and talk about the evils of social media because it does have its value. But if we begin to value the messages we get on social media and from influencers over the truth of God's word, we've gotten it wrong and we have fallen victim to the enemy. The enemy will lie. He will lie to you, and he will lie to you about you. You know the messages that I'm talking about. They're those little feelings of inadequacy that you get when you see a perfectly filtered image and you think that's supposed to be you. It's those self-deprecating messages that you're not good enough. Why wasn't I invited? Why am I not there? Please, please dig deep into Scripture so that when that happens and you start getting those lying messages, even the ones about yourself, you know what God's word says about you. It's verses like Isaiah 43:3. You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. Zephaniah 3:17. He will take great delight in you. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will quiet you with his love. And Psalm 139:14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If we know the truth and our ears are tuned in and trained to the voice of the Holy Spirit, we will know the truth from the lies and be able to navigate those messages successfully. Now, going back to what I said earlier about having a clear sense of calling to a particular thing, I do believe that we as believers all have the same calling, and that is to love God and love people and walk in obedience. But there have been times in my life where I have experienced those Holy Spirit nudges. Sometimes they were outright shoves or a kick in the pants, but the point is that the Spirit was leading me or dragging me. I look back on times when Dustin and I were feeling a particular sense of calling. I will probably remember my whole life what it was like to feel that sense of calling to move out here. That was, you know, one of those things that you remember. It really made an impact. Each time I have felt that nudge, sometimes it was maybe taking a certain job or going down a certain career path. Each time I heard that gentle whisper, it seemed to be speaking to me the words of Isaiah 30:21 that says, "This is the way, walk in it." Clarence Haynes Jr. wrote this in a devotional. He wrote, "It is important to understand that the dramatic mountaintop events are not typical of how God deals with us in the day-to-day. These are outside the norm. Yes, they can happen, but most of the time there is a calm, reassuring sense of God's presence that you carry with you from day to day. There will be moments when you sense it greater than others, but for the most part, it is steady and consistent, like that gentle whisper." For me, every time I stepped forward, there was something new to learn on my journey, all of which has led me to where I am today. But I don't want you to think that it's been all nice and I always listen to the Holy Spirit and we're just clicking and it's always going the way it should, because that wouldn't be right. There have been times when I have been stuck in that cave, just like Elijah, and it was dark and it was painful. I have felt sometimes like I was hanging on by my fingernails. And maybe you can relate. Maybe that's where you are today. There have also been times when I have flat out ignored the voice of the Holy Spirit and those gentle nudges. It has been during times of deep pain and heartache, when I am in desperate need of hearing that still small voice, that I find myself diving into Scripture or maybe putting on a worship playlist and just praying for hope and resiliency, something that I can take that will calm the fear, some word of direction. Have you been there? Charles Spurgeon said it this way: "When you feel every line of the Word of God as you read it, as if it were written for you and you alone, when you think that nobody else in the world can enter so fully into it in your judgment as you now do, for the sentences seem shaped for you, and there are little words dropped into the threatening and the promise exactly adapted for you, then it is that the still small voice is executing its sacred office." Let me read that again. When you feel every line of the Word of God as you read it, as if it were written for you and you alone, when you think that nobody else in the world can enter so fully into it in your judgment as you now do, for the sentences seem shaped for you, and there are little words dropped into the threatening and the promise, exactly adapted for you, then it is that the still small voice is executing its sacred office. I want to encourage you with what Charles Spurgeon so well said. If you have felt like a verse of scripture was written just for you, if it fell into your lap at just the moment you needed it, that is the gentle whisper that I'm talking about. Let me ask us all a few questions before we close our time here today. Where do you feel the Holy Spirit nudging you? Are you hearing that gentle whisper? Where are you hearing it? Maybe you aren't hearing him. There have certainly been times in my life where he felt silent, but it wasn't him who stopped talking. I had stopped listening. Without a doubt, every time I put my listening ears on and ask him to speak, he does. Maybe that's what we need to do today, is we need to put our listening ears on. To close, I would love to pray the verses of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And I had our graduates in mind when I was thinking how I could close this out. So let's pray. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.